Let's study Romans. We're in the first quarter of the epistle about salvation, justification, and our need thereof. The gift of God's own righteousness comes upon all them that believe. It comes to everybody, but it's only upon all them that believe. Believe the gospel. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we see that faith is a key thought. And it's a major part of the mystery revealed to Paul for us. In that first section about Paul's My Gospel that we're talking about, the first quarter of Romans, in Romans 3, the gospel is part of the mystery. But that's not all. The way I see it, the way I understand the scriptures anyway, the mystery is not a bunch of separate mysteries, although there are some separate mysteries, but there are some related mysteries too. Some of them, well, let me just mention some. For instance, the mystery of iniquity is separate from some of the other ones. The mystery of Israel being blinded, that's separate. Romans 11:25. It's a different one. The mystery of the catching up, that's listed. It's a different mystery. But some of these mysteries go together. For instance, Romans 10:17, Romans 1:13, Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 3:4, and 2 Thessalonians 2:14. They all tell us that when we hear the gospel of salvation, we can believe it. It's our choice. You know, God may know ahead of, God does know ahead of time what we'll choose, but we have the choice. Then 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us that we're baptized into the one body of Christ by the one Holy Spirit. And then Ephesians 1:13 says that the same Holy Spirit is the seal that seals us there. Those are all things that were never told in the Old Testament. Never told about there being a body of Christ, or about the Holy Spirit baptizing people into the one body of Christ, or about us being sealed there with the Holy Spirit. And it's not only sealed there by the Holy Spirit, but we're sealed there with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal in our lives, keeping us in the body of Christ. And those type things are all, they're mysteries that are all related. And so is this, that we receive God's own righteousness. It's a mystery that was never mentioned in the Bible before Paul. That's why it was a mystery. God kept it a secret until they revealed it to Paul. It's a mystery that separately from blessing Israel, the righteousness of God would be imputed to all people that believe, being made acceptable to hear and believe the gospel by the gospel of God, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. So that, because of that, all people could hear and believe the gospel of the grace of God to be saved. So it bypasses what used to be the requirement to get in under the covenants. You had to bless Israel if you were a Gentile, or else submit to circumcision to be part of Israel, one law for the I forget the wording, but your children would be considered Jews then too. So the law was designed to show that every mouth would be stopped and nobody is righteous before God. Not just that the Gentiles are unrighteous, but everybody, including Israel. Israel needed the law to prove to them that they couldn't keep the law. We'll get into that more in a little bit in Deuteronomy. But the only way to have the righteousness that God will accept is to accept God's righteousness, which is being given to us who believe the gospel of salvation. At the cross, God earned the right to stay just in justifying disbelievers. Well, believers that were disbelievers, they become believers and are saved. They're just. Now, Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 and 2, David found forgiveness. This comes up often. People will say there was grace in the Old Testament, but it's not a dispensing of grace. It was one person. David found forgiveness from God for having committed adultery and then murder. David also prophesied about a future time when Israel will be forgiven for its apostasy. And okay, well, that was something flashed into my mind about a lesson I heard, but it's not related enough to this. But David was forgiven for his transgression, and David says how. If we look in those verses there, Psalm 32, 1 and 2, blessed is he. Now, he is singular. He's talking about a man himself. Not a dispensing of God's grace to everybody that believes at that time. That was a secret still back then. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 2, blessed is the man, singular, the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. David found forgiveness for his adultery and for his murder, though it cost him the life of his son. 2 Samuel 12:14 and through verse 19, especially verse 18. Verse 18 says, this is 2 Samuel 12:18, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? Excuse me just a minute. So, how would you like that kind of forgiveness? You know, it cost him instead of Christ. I mean, for us, we're forgiven for Christ's sake because he died for our sins. He paid the penalty. The penalty wasn't just erased or removed. He died the death penalty for me, for you. Also, look briefly at Israel's parallel New Testament verse, 1 John 1:9, to Israel. John writes to Israel, Galatians 2:9. And 1 John 1:9 says, if we being Israel, confess our Israel's sins, he, God, is faithful and just. Well, we know that. We know he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, Israel, their sins, and to cleanse us, Israel, from all unrighteousness. And as Brother Richard Jordan points out, how many times can you be cleansed from all unrighteousness? This is a one-time verse. It's not something you do every night, every evening, by your bedside. One of the admins will have to cover that. The note in text. But there will come a time when Israel will acknowledge its sin, its apostasy, as David did in Psalm 32:5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Let me just get a sip here. Maybe that'll help. There will come a time when Israel will stop hiding the iniquity of its sin, as David did in Psalm 32:5 again. Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Well, in the same way, there will come a time when Israel will confess its transgressions unto the Lord, and the Lord will forgive the iniquity of Israel's sin. But David goes on prophesying in verse 6, Psalm 32, verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. It's a prophecy about Israel's future. David prophesies about Israel, not about the body of Christ. Israel is a nation. After centuries of going astray, that nation, just like sheep going astray, they lost their ability to pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. As David said, Israel became not God's people. Lo am I. Hosea 1:9 shows us that. Hosea 1:9, then said God, call his name Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Wow, how stern. But, you know, God's a righteous judge. They deserved it. And the outworking of that, we'll read that in Acts 28, starting in verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go, and this is verse 26, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 28. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. From studying Paul's epistles, we know that those in the body of Christ now have God's own righteousness imputed to them. But what about Israel? When will they be declared righteous enough for God? We know from a secret revealed to Paul that Israel's blindness will end after the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Come into what? Come into what God is building today. He's building the body of Christ here on earth to rule in the heavens. Romans 11:25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. A mystery is a secret. Often, you know, I mean, here he's making the secret known. It wouldn't be a secret anymore after it's known. But he says, brethren, I would not have you be, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. But in Romans 11:26, the next verse, the secret is further revealed that afterward, so all Israel shall be saved. God is not done with Israel. He is for now, but not for the future. He's not done. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And so the fulfillment of Israel's prophecies resume. So Israel's prophet Ezekiel foretells that Israel's day will come. Let's look in Ezekiel 36, verse 21, and some of the following verses. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen whither you went. Verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Verse 24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Remember, he was going to give them the land, and he's going to do it. This is a prophecy that it will happen. Verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. There's an answer to what we were talking about earlier. When we have the spirit now, Israel gets it then in them, indwelling spirit. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So there's the reversal of the Lo Am I verse there, Hosea 1:9. Ezekiel 36:29. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Just repeating Psalm, what David said in Psalm 32, verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found, surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. But Israel's good intentions of being righteous didn't work out. They found out that their pledge to keep every one of God's laws was impossible to do, as God designed it to show them. The laws, that's one of the reasons for the law. So, one day, Israel will have God's righteousness, as Romans 11:25 says, after the fullness of the Gentiles become into what God is building now. Israel's blindness will be lifted, and Romans 11:26 tells us that so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And we read about the Lo Am I situation of Israel in Hosea 1:9, let's look at the whole prophecy, because it gets completed in prophecy anyway, in Hosea 1:9-11, starting with verse 9. Then said God, call his name Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, same people, you are the sons of the living God. So that's Israel it's talking about, that was Lo am I, and then they become the sons of the living God. It's not talking about Gentiles taking Israel's blessings. Okay, Hosea 1:11. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. How's that going to happen? Well, Zechariah tells us a little more. Zechariah 12:9-11. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Notice it doesn't say that come against Tel Aviv. That come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And you can imagine the apostate nation of Israel seeing Jesus coming in the clouds and recognizing that his hands are pierced. He really was, just like Paul. You know, remember Paul on the road to Damascus, and it says astonished and trembling. The whole nation is going to begin to see that Jesus really is their Christ that they have rejected for almost two millenniums now. You know, in that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon and the valley of Megiddon. So, but that's a different thing, isn't it? That's not the same as being given God's righteousness and not ever having any sins on our account with God. On that basis, on the basis that God makes us the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You see, one is by believing Paul's gospel, and the other is by keeping the covenant that God made with Israel, that they must not sin. And Israel had agreed to those covenants and laws in Deuteronomy 6:25. Deuteronomy 6:25, and it shall be our righteousness. How are they going to get righteousness? It says they agreed it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments, all of them, before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. So they had high hopes of living a perfect life, but they found out that because of sin in mankind, the law works wrath and makes us aware of sin. That's in Romans 3:20 and Romans 7, verse 7. Because, Romans 4:15, because the law works wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. You can't break a law that's not there, in other words. Just to close, let's read those verses in Romans chapter 3, Romans 3, 19 through 22, they apply to this about ours, well, Israel's, ours. Everybody is included as sinners now, and this is the summation of that and the remedy. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, this is one of those places in the Bible where we get a but now. God changed things, changed the way he dispensed his grace. So, you know, this may not be the word that starts with D and sounds like dispensation, but it is a change here. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Who is it unto? It's unto everybody. Everybody has an opportunity to receive this. But it's only upon all them that believe. Believe the gospel. Christ died for your sins, died for our sins, was buried and rose again. And that proved that it was effective when he died for our sins, his burial and resurrection. Okay, that'll conclude tonight's lesson. Time for questions, comments, or corrections.